Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
For the countless individuals seeking to maximize their health and who consider vitamins to be keys to well-being, Catherine Price's new book, Vitamania, offers some context by looking into the roots of America's ongoing nutritional confusion over vitamins and just overall nutritional confusion. Price traveled to vitamin manufacturers and food laboratories and military testing kitchens and dove into the history of nutritional science. Vitamania explores the history, science, hype, and future of nutrition. Catherine Price is an award-winning journalist whose work has appeared in publications including The Best American Science Writing, The New York Times, Popular Science, and Health Magazine. Catherine Price, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. What brought you to the subject of vitamins?
Well, I was writing about health and nutrition for a while beforehand, so I was interested in the subject. And I also happen to have type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease where you have to pay constant attention to how what you eat affects your blood sugar. So I was used to focusing a lot on food, but it never really occurred to me to think about vitamins. I just assumed I knew what they were, and I assumed someone knew how much of them I needed. But when I actually started thinking about that question, I realized I had no idea. I could just tell you that, I liked Flintstones as a kid, and I should not get scurvy. I definitely don't want scurvy.
I have to say that, my original vitamin knowledge had basically to do with Flintstone chewables and how they became sort of the go-to vitamin. But your exploration into this I found fascinating because I didn't realize that this was such a relatively new thing.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I thought that, I didn't think vitamins went down to back to the actual Flintstones era, but but I certainly thought they were more of an established thing than they actually are. The first vitamins were actually only discovered in the early 20th century, and the word vitamin itself was coined in 1911, and that was actually before any vitamin had been isolated out of food. They were just kind of suspected to exist, and this very smart guy just made up the word and kind of claimed it, and it's lasted ever since.
And so they are important, right? I mean, when we talk about vitamins, and I think this is ultimately what you're struggling to do in the book and your challenge before you, which I think you do wonderfully, is kind of put them into, as I said in the introduction, into a context, because there's different definitions for different situations. Like milk has vitamins in it, so we can talk about that. But when you talk about other vitamins or vitamin supplements, then you're getting into a whole other issue.
Yeah, it becomes really complicated really quickly. So I just tried my best to make it fun and clear, But one thing I always like to point out in the beginning is, when I say I'm writing a book about vitamins, most people then start asking me about things like chondroitin or fish oil. And those things are actually not vitamins. So there's only 13 human vitamins, and those are A, C, D, E, K, and the 8 B vitamins, which go by alternate names like thiamine and niacin and riboflavin. So only 13 of them. But in America, we tend to use the word vitamin to refer to any dietary supplement, and there are an estimated 65 to 85,000 dietary supplement products on the market. So for the purposes of our conversation, it's like important to focus on, vitamins. And to get to one of your first points there, we need vitamins. We'll die without them. So it's interesting to think that we've got these substances that actually, an absence of them will give us horrible diseases and kill us. So on the one side, you've got this miraculous capacity of vitamins to cure these horrible diseases.
Right.
But on the other hand, you've got our current view towards vitamins that, if they can do these miraculous things against these diseases in small amounts, then if I take 50 times that amount, it must do even better things for me. And that's where things start getting really weird.
And that is where you certainly use the word in many times about obsession and how it becomes an obsession and the title of the book, Vitamania. So how did we come to that mania stature, if you will? And it could, because that is also relatively new.
Yeah, as I did more research, I came to conclude that I think that vitamins as a concept really open the door for the current way we think about our diets, which is kind of this obsession with the idea that if we just figure out the perfect blend of isolated dietary chemicals, whether they're vitamins in particular or other compounds in food, we will achieve perfect lasting health. And that I think has really kind of blinded us to the broader fact that there is an enormous amount of about nutrition that we don't understand and that we may never understand. But it's so much nicer to think that we do understand it and that we get these magic pills and they'll make us better. But I think part of the reason that vitamins were able to facilitate this this philosophy that we have today is that the word itself is just so good. And as I said, it was coined before anyone actually saw a vitamin. But it was made up by combining the Latin word for life, which is vita, and then putting on amine, which is a chemical term. The guy who coined it thought that all the vitamins would turn out to be amines. They didn't, actually. Mm. And so at some point, it started as vitamine with an E on the end. The E got chopped off, and it just kept going. But what I found truly fascinating about that is that early researchers didn't think that term was going to last because it didn't really mean anything. So you had this debate in the 1920s about, you know, whether they should even continue with it at all because it had no definition. And then you add competing scientists wanting their own ideas to be put into use. And some of them, I mean, they're just like laughably bad, like food hormone or food accessory factor or, you know, fat soluble A. And so I think it would be very difficult to imagine a world where we were really obsessed with food hormones or, you know, accessory factors.
Yeah.
In the same way that we do vitamins.
Although it seems like just a matter of time.
Yeah, perhaps. But yeah, it's just an amazing branding word. You know, it's like, that poor guy, I don't think he ever got a Nobel Prize, but I'm like, if he were alive now, we should be giving him marketing award.
Peace to the world. So that the idea here of the question of should we take vitamins, you maintain, really misses the point.
Yeah, it does, because it doesn't take into account what you're eating. Because, you know, I don't know anything about what you had for breakfast today, so I can't tell you if you need a vitamin. I mean, if you spend all your days just existing purely on, like, Diet Coke, then, yeah, you probably need some vitamins. I would suggest
Carolyn,
changing your diet.
So Catherine, it's yes. Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, exactly. Yeah. Diet Pepsi is totally nutritionally complete for your mind.
Please.
No, but you know what I mean? So it's like you can eat a diet that is like has so few vitamins that you do need extra vitamins. And I would suggest you get them by eating better foods, but you could take a multivitamin. On the flip side, you have people who are like super health conscious who are eating that diet of kale and broccoli that we all aspire to and probably fail at. They're probably fine, too. And then you have this middle category of people who are eating a more typical diet that has lots of foods that have extra man-made vitamins added to them. Those foods probably give you, in most cases, enough vitamins. There are specific cases you might need more, but for the most part, you will. But the downside of that kind of diet is that there's a lot of other chemicals found in food, naturally made foods,
right,
that are not put back into these fortified products. And we don't really know, like, everything else that goes on in broccoli that makes it good for us. And so to truly hedge your bets, that's why you want to get vitamins from foods that naturally contain them. Not because the vitamins themselves are different, but just because you're getting all this other stuff at the same time.
As you mentioned, the book is an awful lot of fun to read. There's a lot of fun facts and really interesting information that's really, and you're a great writer, and it's a lot of fun to read through. With that said, there's a lot of scary stuff in here. there's a lot of stuff to, you know, scare the zippers off you. The thing I have to say, twofold. One is that no major health organization, you point out, recommends the regular use of multivitamins for quote-unquote healthy people, number one. But number two is that if most people go to their doctor and ask this issue, you're going to get many different answers because, as you maintain, sometimes just the doctors have different thoughts and knowledge about this topic.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying when you realize how little we know. Like, the example right. that comes to mind for me is vitamin D. Everyone knows about vitamin D these days. Everyone's getting tested for vitamin D. Everyone is telling other people, like me, that they're deficient in vitamin D. And every other day you see a headline about the latest, greatest thing that D can do. And I listened to a two-day web conference at NIH, the National Institutes of Health, where the world's leading D experts got together. This is not an activity I recommend for 2 days to do, especially at a computer, because it's rather tedious. But what I came away with was this, like you're saying, this sense of terror that was like, okay, we don't know. So we do know that D is important for bone health because it regulates calcium absorption. We do know that there's interesting studies going on suggesting there may be more stuff happening. We don't know exactly what it is. But the bottom line is that there's a huge amount of D that we just don't know anything about, from what it actually does in our bodies to what the cutoff for deficiency should be. So when your doctor says you're deficient, like, that's kind of it's a very controversial cutoff. We don't actually have consistent tests for vitamin D. There is an effort to standardize these tests, but there's still problems, meaning that if I get my blood drawn, same sample of blood, and it's sent to the lab on my corner versus the lab at the hospital across the river, you could have different results, right? So some of the people I spoke to said they wouldn't even get their D tested because they don't know how to, no one knows how to interpret those results. So it's just this huge amount of uncertainty. And then we, the public, are like, wait a second, if the experts don't know the answer, then how are we supposed to choose what to eat or decide on a supplement?
Right.
And what I try to emphasize in the book and what I hope people take away is to, first of all, recognize this uncertainty, but then also become more comfortable with it and say, okay, well, instead of obsessing over all this stuff that we don't know, let's focus on what we do know and try to make our decisions based on what we do know in a way that hedges our bets but also keeps us safe.
The Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act and the Vitamin Mineral Amendment, are they good things?
That depends on your perspective. The Vitamin Mineral Amendment was something passed in 1976 that forbade the FDA from ever setting limits on the amount of vitamins or minerals that could be contained in a vitamin product, and also prevented them from defining what vitamin products were. So, for example, you can call your product a multivitamin, and it can have a variety of different combinations of vitamins, like gummy vitamins that so many adults love in addition to children.
Yeah.
If you look at what they actually contain, it's different from like a one a day. They have fewer vitamins, but still can be called a multivitamin.
But they're fun because they squish, you know, and you can play with them, and you make little puppets out of them, Catherine. That's fun.
Well, I tried those. I hadn't tried them before. It's not good if you've got diabetes, by the way, but I tried a limited supply. I was like, oh my goodness, these taste like candy. Like, I used to love gummy bears. I would eat the whole bottle.
Right.
That's a very common question people ask. Can you OD on gummy vitamins? The answer is yes, because you're eating vitamins. So just go eat some gummy bears, and if you want a multivitamin, take like a one a day. I mean, let's not try to fool ourselves. But anyway, the other act you talked about, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act in 1994, was basically written by industry with the support of the American people. And the most important thing for people to take away from that is that it prevented the FDA from requiring that dietary supplements, by which I mean this much broader category of 85,000 products, it prevented from the FDA from requiring that they be tested for safety or for efficacy before they're sold. So when you buy, I don't know, your ginkgo biloba or whatever protein powder bodybuilding thing you pick up in GNC, there's actually no requirement that that company has proven that it won't do something bad to you or that it actually will do what it claims to.
I get really scared and when you start to see all of that stuff show up in pharmacies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very confusing because when you go into a pharmacy, there's kind of this aura of, you think that someone is, if it's right next to where the Tylenol is,
right,
you think that it's going to be regulated the same way. And in other countries, they don't do that. In other countries, it's not something you can just go into the pharmacy or, you know, even the grocery store and pick up off the shelf.
It's a fascinating subject. It's the name of the book is Vitamania, Our Obsessive Quest for Nutritional Perfection. The book is published by Penguin Press. Catherine Price, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the book. It was just a great read and so fascinating. And I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Best of luck with it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.